As we think about what we're looking at together in Leviticus chapter 24, verses 1 through 4, the menorah, the golden candlestick, I want to remember what we just sang in Psalm 67, that our children are part of that. I want you to remember that, children. It said, those who are great and small, certainly not thinking only of small nations, but of our small little ones. Our wee boys and girls in the congregation are just as much here to shine light for God. And remember that the children are always in view, the families are always in view in Leviticus. God always works with families and a covenant people. Remember 1 Corinthians 7:14, our recent memory verse, that because of covenant parent, the children are viewed and treated as holy and sanctified. So we are thankful that God is using the light even of our children here today, as Psalm 8, remember, says, as Jesus went to the tabernacle and they praised him, out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants thou hast ordained praise, applying Psalm 8, verse 2. So be encouraged, children, that you're part of our candlestick. You're part of helping us bear light for Jesus as we gather together. And we rejoice to know another one is here. And we look forward to, in a little while, outside the womb, a suckling infant giving praise as well to the Lord and adding fuel to this holy fire, a witness to Jesus Christ. We read now Leviticus chapter 24, verses 1 through 4. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, command the children of Israel that they bring unto thee pure oil olive beaten for the light, to cause the lamps to burn continually, without the veil of the testimony, in the tabernacle of the congregation, shall Aaron order it from the evening unto the morning, before the Lord continually. It shall be a statute forever in your generations. He shall order the lamps upon the pure candlestick before the Lord continually. So we're looking at the menorah again today. I want to remind you, it's really the third time, as we've been preaching through the Pentateuch, that we look at it. Exodus chapter 25. We gave particular attention to the design and to the purpose of the menorah, the golden candlestick or the golden lampstand. It is fueled by oil, and it's really impressive. It's very, very big. It's pure gold, all one thing, but it has seven different branches, all to be lit, all shining. It's to keep the light on always. It's to always be burning in the holy place, bringing light to the regular worship deeds of the priests in the holy place. They only go into the holies of holies once a year. Most of the regular work of the church of the priests is in the holy place, and they have to have this candlestick shine inside this tent or it would be dark. But it's also shedding light on all the types of what the tabernacle is, what the temple is. And remember what we'll see next week, and think of it with the Lord's Supper we're having weekly now. The showbread, the presence of God in the bread, the idea, God's presence with his people. Exodus 27, we looked at the design of the supply. And we saw that you, the people, are to provide the oil, as is said here again, that the priest would have something to burn. And notice, what kind of oil is it? Beaten, pure. You're to really prepare yourself for worship as you come here. The more that you prepare and are holy as you approach the Lord with reverence and awe, the more you're providing pure oil to burn brightly here in the worship service. But the oil comes from you. The priests use the oil, but you have to provide it. Now, we know, as we'll see, the oil represents the Holy Spirit. But after all, you are all temples of the Holy Spirit. Today, we see those things, but I think what we see emphasized here is the regular shining in the church worship service. You see, we get the design of it in Exodus 25. Then we get the design and purpose of the supply of it in Exodus 27. But here's where it begins to start now. See, now they've built the tabernacle, remember, and they've had the inaugural service and ordination, and now there's real worship happening. So now the menorah is actually lit, and now you're actually to keep supplying it. No more just theory, now practice. And what is the practice? Regularly supplying the oil, regularly bringing together what is needed for worship. And where is that? In the temple of God, where the people assemble to worship him. That's where we have the most important witness. God's glory shines continually before the world, especially as his people gather together to worship him. Wherever God particularly manifests himself in the scriptures, for a particularly bright light into the dark world is as his people get together and assemble before him, such as where we still are on Mount Sinai, the thunder, the lightning, the witness. It's because they're gathered together as his people, and then he's going to manifest himself as he is in a special way. And that's going to continue to be the case. They're not staying at Mount Sinai. They're going to go through the desert. They're going to go into the promised land. And now how is he going to reveal his glory light? In their midst, in the tabernacle, in the center of the camp, worship around the worship of God. And that is always the case. We see it all the way to the book of Revelation in eternity. So you give a particular witness, saints. You give a particular witness to God. You are particularly the light of the world as you gather your lights together here on his holy day. Andrew Bonar, on his commentary of this text, says, among a few things I'll share a little bit more tonight, talking about the golden candlestick and what we learned today as the emphasis, he says, shine. And that's been the message we've looked at. Shine. Your job, as we'll see tonight in Matthew 5, again, is to shine as lights of the world. And here's where you have a particular opportunity to shine the brightest with one another's flames. But he says there's a few ways you're supposed to shine. There's a few ways to notice in the text that you're particularly supposed to shine. First of all, by grace. You only shine by grace. By Christ fueling you with his Holy Spirit and his light. He's the light of the world. So Christ shines through you by grace. Second, how are you to shine? Clearly. Pure oil. You have to prepare when you come to worship. You have to prepare to be awake and attentive, reverent, joyful. That comes with preparation. If you are asleep right now, if you struggle to give your attention to the Lord, you are not preparing properly. You're not bringing pure enough oil. Burn clearly. You don't bring a mix of things. Any flame with bad oil flickers and will sputter and cause bad smoke. Pure oil burns clearly with a clear, pleasing smell to the Lord. Third, burn constantly. Another relation to how you should be acting the whole time in worship. Constantly attentive, constantly reverent, attentive to the Lord God Almighty. That's what we see. The lights don't go out in the menorah, and you are the menorah. He says this also. Number four, shine in the face of the world. And as you come here with pure oil for the pure golden lampstand, and you are here the proper way, having beaten yourself to bring pure oil here this morning, and as you burn and shine, shine in the face of the world. That's what you need to be reminded you're doing here every Lord's Day, morning and evening worship, giving the whole day to the Lord. You are giving a special witness to the world, and that should encourage you. Bonar says this, cast your light fair on the world's sins. This is what you're doing as you're here today, rather than joining them in their sins today. Cast your light fair on the world's sins, that they may see them. Point out their ungodliness, their lawlessness, their unbelief. Reprove their acts of Sabbath profanation. I'm not reading from the notes right now. Reprove their acts of Sabbath profanation. When they profane the Sabbath, you reprove it. You draw a light that it's a horrible sin. And how do you do that? You give the whole day to the Sabbath. And you particularly draw yourselves together to be a shining light in worship. Reprove their acts of Sabbath profanation. Check them when they swear in your presence. Bear your testimony where the truth is denied in your presence. Never be afraid of dazzling the world. Again, I'm not reading from the notes right now. Never be afraid of dazzling the world with too much light. But plainly show them that they are wholly sinful, wholly ruined, wholly helpless, and speak a present, immediate, free, full pardon in the Savior. He says, number six, he says, do this so as to show the golden table and the golden altar. The light of the candlestick did so. And so that's what you're doing here right now is the candlestick. It's a worship thing. It's a gathered worship thing before the Lord in his holy place. You are reproving the acts of Sabbath profanation in the face of the world as you gather together, especially on God's day, and you make it His day for all the world to see. The more the light is dimming around you, and it is, the more the world is deepening in darkness, and it is, the more that people scatter from the light, scatter from Christ, abandon any kind of formal, official, instituted church worship, the more the world dims into darkness. But as you gather together, it's even more important that your formal worship remains and remains steady and constant and clear, because it, more than anything, reflects the form of the day star arising in your hearts. You think about stars. What do gatherings of stars point to? What do they form? You see images, right? The Big or Little Dipper. Orion's Belt, all these different things. As these different stars in the darkness are gathered together in constellations, they make out a form of something. That's what you are when you gather your lights together to worship. You make out the form of Christ more visible here. And what do those constellations also do? You see more light together, just like the Milky Way, the galaxy. As you see the stars gathered together, what do you see? You see more light. And that's what you are here together today, beloved. Your holy convocation is a shining constellation. That's the message for you today from what we learned about the lampstand today, the golden candlestick. Your holy convocation is a shining constellation. When you want light in the room, what do? Turn a light on. If you don't have a light, what do? You go buy a light. You put it in the room, you plug it in, and you turn it on. That's what you are for God. Verses 2 and 4 of our text. Without the veil of the testimony and the tabernacle of the congregation, shall Aaron order it from the evening unto the morning before the Lord continually, it shall be a statute forever in your generations. Oh, pardon me, that was verse 3. Verse 2, command the children of Israel that they bring unto thee pure olive oil beaten for the light, to cause the lamps to burn continually. Now verse 4, he shall order the lamps upon the pure candlestick before the Lord continually. This is the whole point. We understand this, but let's be reminded. The whole point of a light is to light. That's what we'll see again tonight in Matthew 5. The whole point to have a candlestick, the whole point to have a lampstand is to shed light in a dark place so you can see what's going on, you can see the truth of the matter and not stumble in darkness. That's what the church of God is. It's God's candlestick in the world, God's lampstand. That's what you are, shining Christ's light in His presence before the lost who are outside in the devil's darkness. They don't know they're in darkness. They don't know they're in the devil's darkness. But you shed light onto that situation, that they'd be drawn to that light. Exodus 25, verses 31, the menorah in the holy place. We saw the message there was to shine, before the world. Exodus 27, verses 20 and 21, the people provided the priests with the oil to shine. The message there was keep the light on for us. You come together as the candlestick and you bring the pure oil to be an ongoing witness to the world. The tabernacle and the temple later, remember, is a shadow of the reality of you in Christ. It is a type and pattern of heavenly things, heavenly realities now fulfilled in Christ and thus in you as the church more. I give you a number of scriptures there. Exodus 25, 9, 26, 30, Numbers 8, verse 4, Hebrews 8, verse 5, Acts 7, verse 44. We've revisited those many times throughout Exodus and Leviticus. The reminder is everything you're reading about in the tabernacle is actually about you. It's actually about what Jesus does in you for real. You are actually the menorah. Because you are actually the temple of God. 1 Corinthians 3 and 6, 2 Corinthians also chapter 6 say a number of times that you, beloved, are the temple of God. You are the temple of the Holy Spirit of God. Revelation 1, In a number of places, Revelation 4, verse 5, tells us that the candlesticks in the vision are the churches of God. So we know especially that what this image here, you are the church, thus you are the light of the world. You are the candlestick. You bear light into the world. You bear Christ's light in this world. That's what the image of the candlestick is explained to us in Revelation. But also, Zechariah 4, verse 11, Revelation 11, verse 4, drawing on its image, the olive tree and the oil coming in through the priest doing the work of the ministry and worship is supplied by you. But the oil, remember, represents the Holy Spirit. It'll never burn out. No matter what happens, no matter how often sin tries to put out the light of the true church, he won't. The light will never burn out because it is the light of the Holy Ghost. And remember, you are all temples of God. You are all temples of the Holy Spirit. So you are the golden lampstand to hold the light. And you have the Holy Spirit within you to keep burning the light. But you are the bearers of that light that's to burn off the oil, the pure oil. You are where God's presence dwells. You are where God's presence shines. John 8, verse 12, Jesus says, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. John 9, verse 5, Jesus says, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. But he's now in heaven. He's returned to heaven. So has his light been put out in this world? Is this world completely dark and there is no hope? No. How is his light still in this world? Because he's still in the world. How is he? Through his body. You, the church. He burns his light through you. He says elsewhere, ye are the light of the world. He says it in the text for you this evening. Matthew 5, 14 to 16. Ye are the light of the world. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. So Matthew 5, we'll see tonight, particularly seems to have the idea of you being flames that go out into the dark world. And you're these lights moving around that people get a glimpse of and want to maybe follow after to get out of the darkness and into the light. You go out, but here today what they see is, where do you bring them in the end? Where should they follow you to? Worshipping the Lord God. Gathering together as lights, a brighter light together in worship in the holy place. Here today in our text, you're to lead people to warm by the fire in God's house. You are Christ's light in this dark world, and your light shines brighter as you gather together to worship Jesus. That's why Satan doesn't want you to gather. That's why he doesn't want you to prepare and bring pure oil. He wants you fast asleep and distracted. He does not want you to burn bright. He does not want you to think it matters if you show up that often. And if you show up, seriously. Because you'll be less of a light to the world, and this is the greatest opportunity you have all week to shine a bright light to the world with the other lights. You shine brighter as you gather together and you worship Jesus. When you want more light in the room, maybe you have some light in the room, but when you want more light in the room, what do? Turn more lights on. And if you don't have them, you go get more lights and you plug them in and you turn them on. I like a lot of light in the room when I'm reading. I'm always walking in the room saying, you don't got enough light. How are you reading like that? And I go around, turn on a bunch of lights. And they usually say, oh, yeah, you're right. Thanks. You know, sometimes you don't know you need more light, but you need more light. And as you get more light, you get it by bringing more lamps into the same room and it has more light. That's the only way to have it. And that's what church worship is. The church is the light of the world, and church worship on God's holy Sabbath day, as he's always prescribed from creation, after he got done what? Creating the lights. But they weren't even needed because he was the light. And again, in the end of the world, we won't need the suns and moon because he is the light and the Lamb. And on the Lord's day, we bring light to that in the dark world. Church worship, now serving him as the sons of Israel. Verse 1, there's this collective corporate understanding. Everyone's life has to center around the tabernacle. Everyone's life has to center around the temple. And everyone's life has to fuel the work of that worship. And as they gather together in worship, regularly coming and going, and then in particular times of worship, they are giving a brighter light than they do themselves out in the world. Verse 1, you are to supply the pure beaten oil to keep the lamp lighting the tabernacle. How often? Continually. Forever. Morning and evening. The priests are to keep working on that wick and cleaning it up so you have a pure light. They're to preserve this light to stay clear and constantly burning. But it won't burn if you don't bring the oil. And it won't burn well if you don't bring pure oil. That's your job as the church, is to continually forever bring a burning light. And you do that in corporate worship together. Every generation, notice that, children. You're to take it and help us with it, and then go on with it with your torches and bring it to the next generation. Every generation of the church is a burning bright light, especially in worship, giving a corporate witness to the nations of the world that they would come and praise him, having his light shine upon them. Verses 2 and 4, every generation, evening and morning, continually and forever bringing pure oil. Again, Christ is the lampstand, but he's the source of it all. He's how we stay standing. But there's not just one light. You see, there's seven shafts. There's seven branches. There's seven lights. So Christ writes to how many churches in Asia in Revelation? Seven. You see the connection? It's deliberate. You are built on Christ. You are the flames. And there's not seven menorahs. There's one menorah. And the flames come together and light the whole room better than just one, you see. You are the branches of Christ. Each church is a branch, a burning light for Christ. And where is the menorah located? In an otherwise dark place. It's in the covered tabernacle. Without the menorah, you don't see the table of showbread. You don't see the way into the Holy of Holies. The church is constantly shedding the light to the way into the Holy of Holies through Jesus Christ. The way to taste and see that the Lord is good. The way to live forever having eaten his bread and drunk his blood. The church is bearing light to this. A corporate worship. Witness. This is why, again, Satan doesn't want it. He wants everybody to think it doesn't matter. And that's why the churches more and more don't have a real witness, and they don't have a pure witness when people show up. Because Satan knows you'll be less of a witness to the way in to the Holy of Holies, Jesus Christ bringing you into his Father's kingdom, into the Holy of Holies everything's pointing to. But the menorah, verse 3, is in the tabernacle of the congregation, which in the Hebrew you could translate it the place of meeting, the tent of meeting. Meeting together is where God particularly shines. The holy place before the veil to the most holy place, again, regularly priestly service. And it is where else? Let's not miss it. Verses 3 and 4, before the Lord. Worship is before the Lord. Real worship is God's people gathering together and shedding light together before the Lord in his specially manifested presence. The Lord God Almighty was all over the universe in the Old Testament. He's just as much omnipresent in the Old as the New. But he has a special manifestation of his presence in the gathered worship of his people before him, where he says to do it, when he says to do it, how he says to do it. And you have that special ability to shine light. You are doing that now in a special way. God's presence shines brightest in the regularly gathered worship service of his people. You burn much brighter. You shine and burn much warmer when each of you bring your candles all together into the sanctuary to shed light on the Creator and source of all light. And again, this is why Satan wants to constantly convince Christians that church service on Sabbath worship is not important. It's plenty fine to skip it. Call yourself a Christian. It's plenty fine to skip it and not be part of the visible church. But if you're not, you're not part of the menorah stand. And you're not gathered together. But this is what Satan wants. He also wants to keep you out of a presbytery. He also wants to keep you out of a denomination. Because you'll have much less of an influence with the pure oil. You'll have much less of an influence with more pure burning flame. He does not want you to gather that flame with others. He wants you to be alone in a dark place, flickering, sputtering. Dying out. He does not want you to gather with others, because when you do, he knows that your light will grow. And grow as it is joined with theirs. Yet you, beloved, draw together every Lord's day to shine forth the glory of your Lord. Yet, beloved, you continue to join us in seeking to join a denomination for an even brighter witness, although Satan has done so much to put out the effort. You do this, for they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. Daniel 12, verse 3. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 6. From generation to generation, as each of you come to serve up worship to God every Christian Sabbath until he returns, you actually ascend to Christ's great blazing cauldron, and you contribute to his glory shining forth more brightly before the world. That's what you're doing here. The point of all other aspects of the Christian life is Christian Sabbath worship. I remind you what you would have had, those of you who are in the membership class, as I've taught it, or you'll see soon, or as you see it, a diagram on the bulletin board in our fireside room. It's a diagram from Dr. Pruto teaching care and administration of the church in seminary. It's a big circle. There's all these different arrows around the circle, all different things the church can be involved in and should be. But everything centers around one thing, and you'll see the scriptures to prove it, if this isn't enough. Sabbath worship. What do you see in Revelation? Everyone centered around God and the Lamb in his throne, around his throne, worshiping him. That's heaven. That's why there'll be no more darkness, because everyone will do that. And the more that you and I are doing that here, drawing attention to the Lord Jesus Christ before the eternal Sabbath comes, you are shedding a more glorious light as you will in heaven around his throne. You may barely flicker. You may barely flicker alone, and you may feel you might even be a smoking flax. But each of you, when you come here to contribute to the most important witness in the world by simply showing up for Sabbath worship service, you are adding your oil to the golden lampstand. And you are giving a more glorious shine and witness together than you could apart. Beloved, may you continue to glow with this good news. When you assemble for holy worship on the Lord's holy day, now within the heavenly holy of holies, through the Holy One, the Holy Spirit best fulfills the command of Philippians 2, verse 15, in your midst, be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. And that word lights in the Greek could be translated very easily like stars. Remember, each of you are a star gathering together, making something more glorious together. Remember, as you bring your lights together, the room gets brighter and the darkness goes further away. For your holy convocation is a shining constellation. Be encouraged, beloved. The world and much of the church wants you to think what you're doing here is a joke. But there's a reason they're talking about it. Because your holy convocation is a shining constellation. Praise the Lord. Let us pray. O Lord God in heaven, we do thank you that by your grace you draw us together, and you have made us the menorah, the golden candlestick, the golden lampstand. And as temples of God, the Holy Spirit within us gathered together fuels a more glorious witness. We pray, Lord, right now, indeed, you shine out to the world. They see us gather every Lord's Day, morning and evening. They see the light through the windows at night. They see us. They walk and drive by, especially where you have us located in this urban place. You are giving a glorious witness, more than we can apart in our private homes, when we come to the house of God and offer up our oil. And, oh, Lord, may it be pure oil. shine your glorious light. So that as we will see this Lord's Day evening, we would go out into the world the rest of the week and be light to the world. That we would shine brightly. For not only do we come and fuel your glorious witness here, you fuel our flame for the rest of the week. So send us out now as lights unto the world, and let others follow us here to be part of the kingdom of heaven. For you will be returning, and all those who are not part of the menorah shall be cast out into everlasting darkness. Thank you that we experience here the promise of an eternal rest, and that we will enjoy the light of the world in such a way as there will be no more dark or darkness around us. Oh Lord, let us just shine and glow with that thought alone, and bring us back to glorify you more with pure beaten oil this evening. And bless our private time as families and individuals to be holy. Help us to sanctify you in our hearts on this sanctified day, that we would not only sanctify your day, but we would in a sanctified way, that we would burn more purely and brightly. And let us, Lord, not be as it were flashes in the pans with our service, but may we be slow burning coals upon your altar that glow even in the darkest of times. And we pray all this in the name of Jesus Christ, who is the light of the world, who is the light of our world. And all the people said, Amen.